So I thought, it's pretty obvious, for the beginning of a new year, I'm going to teach on prayer today. Amen? So come with me to 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez. I gave birth to him in pain, she said. That's not a good start in life, is it? Imagine your mother saying, I gave you the name Jabez because I gave birth to you in pain. I wonder if we stop and think about that. What mother didn't give birth to somebody in pain? So if that were the case, every child could be called Jabez. And all the mother said, amen. That was a loud amen there in case you didn't know. I gave birth to him in pain. But imagine if someone you didn't know said something about you. You're a pain. I'm going to label you pain. And yeah, I don't know that you'd think that much about it. You probably wouldn't like it. But after all, they don't know you. But someone you love, like your mother, gives you that. That's a whole new level of even more pain being added to the pain. Does that make sense? Because when you love someone, admire someone, appreciate somebody, and they call you a name, and every time she calls him, she's reminding him that he's been a label given to him, you're a pain when you were born. So what does Jabez do? He doesn't become a victim. The Bible says Jabez cried, but he didn't cry to people. He didn't cry to dad. He didn't cry to the government. He cried out to the God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge my territory. That now I've lost all my fallback. Can I get some monitor in here so I can hear myself? Let your hand be, doesn't say that, by the way. I'm just talking to the sound people. Let your hand be on me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from the label my mother gave me. I will be free from pain. And I want you to notice that the Bible says, put that verse back up. It says, and the Lord granted him his request. So I want to start this year by asking you, when was the last time you cried out to God to bless you? When was the last time you cried out to God saying, God, bless me. Lord, I'm not going to live under the label of divorced. I'm not going to live under the label of bankrupt. I'm not going to live under the label of, you know, been in jail. I'm not going to live under the label of sickness or poverty. Lord, bless me. Enlarge my territory. Come on, somebody. You're going to have to help me today. Saying amen is like saying skitchum to a dog. And so I want to give you some thoughts I've got about prayer. You know, just recently I was with some people, some friends, and we prayed. And one of these guys just looked at me and he goes, how do you do that? And I went, do what? He goes, you just pray so quickly and so easily. And I looked at him, I said, well, prayer is just talking to God. That's all it is. Like I'm talking to you right now. That's what prayer is. Amen. So I want to give you some thoughts on prayer today. And here's the first one. Prayer keeps you up. Now, I don't mean up where you can't sleep, although sometimes that happens. But prayer keeps you buoyant. I got to be honest with you. We live in such a negative, divisive, conflicted culture today. Come on. Just look at social media and the way people are calling each other out. And look at the way, but even in the church, I see Christians calling other churches out. I see people saying, don't go to a faith church. Don't go to this kind of church. And people pulling down the church. And I got to tell you, prayer keeps you buoyant. It keeps you alive. I love what it says in Jude 1 verse 20. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Do you know one of the ways you can keep yourself up is praying in the Holy Spirit? And I want to encourage you in 2026 to make prayer a priority in your life. It keeps you up. It keeps you positive. It keeps you buoyant. It keeps your head above water. And so many people are drowning in negativity and gossip and rumor and suspicion and conspiracy theories. But I would encourage you to be spiritual and to be praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14, anyone who speaks in an unknown tongue, speaking about the heavenly prayer language, edifies themselves. I want to tell you one of the greatest cures to depression, to negativity, to anxiety is this verse. Anyone who prays in your heavenly prayer language edifies yourself. You build yourself up in your most holy faith. You get stronger. You edify yourself. Can somebody say amen? So the first thing I need you to know about prayer is prayer keeps you up. You can't be negative and can't be depressed if you're a person praying in the Holy Ghost. Somebody should clap right now. I feel a prophetic word on me on this message. Number two, prayer builds confidence. Look at the Bible says, 1 John 5 verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. We're going to talk about that a bit later. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is the confidence we have. If we ask anything in accordance to His will, He hears us. Sometimes I hear people pray, and Lord, if it's your will, could you please heal this person? Lord, if it's your will, can you heal that marriage? Lord, if it's your will, could I be healed? Lord, if it's your will, could I see financial rescue? I'm in trouble. And I'm thinking, what a waste of a prayer. God can't accept that prayer. The Bible says this is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything, and with a knowledge of according to His will, He hears us. So stop praying, Lord, if it's your will. Find out what the will of God is from your Bible. Read your Bible. Find out what the will of God is. And then you can pray with confidence that God will do it. So we don't pray, Lord, if it's your will. Lord, by your stripes we are healed. We will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. You, God, will supply all my needs according to your riches and your... Don't pray prayers God can't hear. Can you say amen? Casual prayers God won't answer. If you can't remember what you prayed for today, what you prayed for yesterday, God won't hear that. Listen to what the Bible says. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes great things. I want to tell you, listen to me, prayer keeps you up. And we need some up Christians in today's world. We need people, oh no, I've got to go to work and everybody in my work is so ungodly and they're all unsaved and I don't want anything to do with them. No, no, no. You are praying in the Spirit. You are building yourself up and you're walking in and you are light in darkness. And when you walk into the room, you ought to light up the room. Come on, somebody. Amen. Stop all this doom and gloom and negative and isolated theology. God wants us to be light. God wants us to be confident. And number three, prayer, you got to understand, is spiritual warfare. And this is one I don't think a lot of Christians really understand. Matthew 12, verse 29, Jesus teaching, or again, he's repeating himself. How can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man, then he can plunder his house. Jesus is not talking about going in and robbing people's houses. He's talking about strongholds, demonic things. And he says, you cannot go. We're talking about spiritual warfare. And you cannot walk into the enemy's territory and just take what he's got from you and expect that he's going to stand there and let you do it. You've got to do warfare first. You got to know, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You got to know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You got to know I am the head and not the tail. You got to know that Jesus defeated Satan on Calvary at the cross. You got to know. Come on, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. You've got to know the curse causeless shall not come. You've got to know that we've been redeemed from the curse. You've got to know the authority you have because you are a believer and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now you can tie up the enemy and take his goods. Amen. It's spiritual warfare. Listen to this one. I love this verse. Hosea 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground. I wished I had time to unpack that. For it is time. What time is it? It is time to what? To seek the Lord until he comes. How long? What time is it? It's time to seek the Lord. How long? So this is saying that prayer is more than just a morning prayer on your way to work. This is more than saying prayer is a nightly prayer, praying over your kids, and that's all good. Don't get me wrong. This is more than prayer is praying over a meal, which Sharon and I aren't the best at. Unfortunately, we grew up in Australia, and Australians just don't do that, do they, Sandy? Praise the Lord. Maybe you do, but you're way more spiritual than I am, that's for sure. But all I know is that what this verse is saying, it's more than just the routine and the pattern of prayer. It's more than just the event of prayer. Listen to what it says. You've got to seek him until he comes. It's not just ripping through the rosemary beads. Rosemary beads. Do you know in the Catholics, 10 Hail Marys, 1 Our Father. Anybody know that routine? Amen. When you go to confession, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. I'd go to confession and I really didn't even know what sin was. So I told him all these things that I never did. And then I said, half the things I told you weren't even true. I just lied to you. And so he would go 10 Hail Marys and 1 Our Father. And I thought, boy, that's a good deal. And so I get Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed are thee. Okay. And then I just go out and just keep on sinning. One time when I went to confession, I told him some things were so bad. He goes, son, you're mowing the church grass for the next 3 weeks. And I went, no, let's just do the 10 Hail Mary thing. But obviously I took it up a level and he remembered me. But it's more than that. It's not ripping through the rosary beads. God doesn't count your prayers. Look at me. He weighs them. It's time to seek the Lord. And what does that look like? Yes, pray with your wife. Sharon prayed with me this morning. We pray every Sunday before service. Yes, do that. Yes, pray in the morning. Yes, pray over nighttime with your kids. Yes, pray over your meals. Yes, pray over a situation or a crisis. But I believe it's more than that. It's a spirit of prayer. It's knowing that there's something to be said for warfare. It's time to seek the Lord. How long? Until you get the breakthrough. Until he comes and showers righteousness on you. You got to pray till there's a breakthrough. And you're looking at somebody here who, I got to tell you, there's times when I'm praying and I've got a burden to pray, and I'm not just praying 10 Hail Marys and an Our Father. I'm not just praying a little nice prayer, Lord, you know, bless the church and bless America, and I'm doing warfare. And sometimes when I'm praying in the Spirit, my heavenly prayer language sounds like it's a war cry. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Church, let's be people who know what it is to do warfare in the Spirit over the powers of darkness. Let's bind the strong man, because we want to take his goods. We want to redeem what the enemy has taken. Can anybody say amen? Here's something I've learned about prayer. Sometimes I've gone into prayer with a burden that's heavy. Sometimes I've gone into prayer with something that's hard. And what I've learned from the teaching of Jesus, Matthew 11, verse 30, my yoke is easy, but my burden is light. And I want to tell you, there's times when you got to keep praying till you get the easy yoke. And there's an exchanging of burdens. You walk in with a heavy burden, but you're walking out. It's time to seek the Lord until he comes. How will you know when he's come? When there's been exchange of a heavy burden for a light burden. When there's been exchange of something that's been too hard that now has become easier in Jesus' name. Am I talking to anybody today? Is anybody, come on, in all of our campuses, I need you to say amen nice and loud. Prayer and fasting. Mark 9, 26. Then the spirit of this young little boy cried out, convulsed in him greatly, and this evil spirit came out of him, and he became as one that was dead, so that many even said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he'd come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Lord, how come we couldn't cast that demon out? And Jesus said, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. See, I'm talking about spiritual warfare. And what I want you to know are some things that aren't just broken with prayer, but you've got to add to it a fast. And that's why we're starting this year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. We want to bind the strong. This is not something nice, a little ritual we do at Wave Church. I'm believing there's going to be breakthroughs. I'm believing God, in Jesus' name, demonic strongholds are going to be broken. And some things are only broken with prayer and fasting. Can you say amen? Number five, another thing I've learned about prayer is there's agreement in prayer that is so powerful. I love what Jesus teaches in Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, so long as we know it's in the knowledge accordance to the will of God. Anything you ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. There's tremendous agreement in prayer. You got to get people to agree with you in prayer. If you're a Christian man or a Christian woman, then I would encourage you, that Christian man, and you're struggling in some area of your life, to get another brother to stand with you in agreement and say, I've got to see something broken off my life, and I'm asking you to get in agreement with me in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? But if you're a Christian man, and you're going to another Christian man saying, I want you to get an agreement with me that my wife and I need to get divorced. Find another brother. Not find another wife. Can you say amen? I want to encourage you. Prayer keeps you in the spirit realm. Because I got to tell you, it is so easy to get in the flesh. It is so easy to get in the flesh. Prayer gives you spiritual discernment. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Amen? And it was there in his prayer and in his fasting that he met his enemy. And prayer, and when you're in prayer, it opens your eyes to a spirit realm is always there. I wished I could show it to you. I try to use words, but Hebrews 12 talks about it, that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. If I could if I could pray the prayer that Elijah prayed, Lord, open our eyes to see the hosts of heaven, to what's really going on. Open our eyes to see what's really going on in the spirit realm. Prayer brings you into a discernment of the spirit realm, where you see what's really going on. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You feel like you're fighting with your wife. You feel like you're fighting with your kids. But it actually, it's powers and principalities and wicked things in high places. Can you say amen? And when you get in prayer, you find out what's really going on. Can you say amen? And I'm all for the nighttime prayer. I'm all for the morning prayer. I'm all for the situational prayer. But I want to give you another thought. Pray without ceasing. Can you say amen? Let me tell you what Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. Chapter 14, verse 18. I thank God that I, he says, speak in tongues more than you all. Let me tell you what he's saying. I pray in my heavenly language more than all of you. And what he's saying is, he's a person who's constantly praying in the Spirit. Remember, when you pray in the Spirit in Jude, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. Remember it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, verse 2, when you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. Come on. Remember Jesus said? Jesus said you got to first bind the strong man. You got to pray in the Spirit. Romans says we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with moanings and groanings that cannot be uttered, that we pray the perfect, the pleasing will of God. And Paul says, I pray in the heavenly language more than all y'all, because he's from the south. Amen? I want to encourage us this year. Let's be people who pray in the Spirit. Amen? 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 Your children ought to hear. They should. This is a Holy Spirit-led, Holy Spirit church, and we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, number six, prayer is being led by the Spirit. Amen? Like if God stopped speaking, how long would it take you to notice? Imagine if God just went, no, I wonder, would it be a day? And you go, hey, God, I wonder if it'd be a week, or I wonder if it might even be months before you went, you know, I haven't heard from God lately. How familiar are you with the voice of God? Come on, I'm preaching better than you're listening. Come on. When was the last time you heard from God about your marriage? When was the last time you heard from God about your kids? We're all praying for our business. We're all praying for our influence. We're all praying for open doors of ministry. Sharon and I are going to do this tomorrow. We're getting on a plane, as we do every January, and we go and we seek God for the year for Wave Church. Starts tomorrow. Praise the Lord. This year, I'm going somewhere warm. That's called wisdom. Last couple of years, I've gone into the mountains, into the freezing cold. Not this year. I'm going somewhere warm. And I got to tell you, I just want to say it to you, that I need to hear from God. I can't live on yesterday's manna. Amen? It's not good. You can't eat on yesterday's revelation. And I want to encourage us, come on. Let's be people who are familiar with the voice of heaven. I remember one time in one of those prayer chimes, I went down to Florida, and I remember I'd go running a couple of miles every morning, and I wanted to run and pray. And every time I prayed for you, the church, Every time. Do you know what the Lord told me? I don't want to hear about the church. And I went, well, it's kind of really why I'm down here. So what do you want to hear from? He goes, I want to hear from you. And I went, okay, well, what do you want to hear? And he says, what kind of a husband do you think you're being? And I went, oh, that's that, clearly God, based on you asking that, not good enough right now. And I remember every morning, I would get up and run. And I'd pray, and I start praying for you, the church. I start praying for initiatives and things I want to see happen and new programs. And every time the Lord said, stop talking to me about all that. I want to speak to you about being a better husband. I want to speak to you about being a better father. About day four, day five, I got up and I started to run. I said, okay, God, talk to me. How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better father? Church, listen to me. When was the last time you heard from God? Amen. Amen. Let's be people of prayer. Let's not just go for the motions. Oh, it's very quiet in here. All right. And so I got to finish. Come with me to Hebrews 10. Watch this. Verse 1. The law is only a shadow. Every say shadow. Of the good things that are coming. Every say good things. So the law is only a of the good things to come. It's not the real thing. It's a shadow. You got it? Everything of the law, everything of the law in the Old Testament is a shadow. It's a type. It's a principle. It's a pattern. As good as it is, it's just a shadow. It's not the real thing. But it gives shape. It gives form. It gives substance. It gives clarity. It gives context. You can see a shadow. Amen. You get an impression. You get an idea. The law of the good things, not the realities themselves. Amen. Have a look at Colossians 2. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or even a Sabbath day. Boy, some Christians need to read these verses. For these are a what? Shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. It's a shadow. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews that we have a better hope, we have a better covenant, and we've got better promises. But I got to tell you, there's some cool things in the Old Testament. Isn't there? Some pretty powerful things that God did through his people that we can learn from. And I'm talking to you about prayer, so let me just show you how we might consider approaching God in the Old Testament when it comes to prayer. Okay? And God instituted this shadow, this pattern, this principle, where there was the Holy of Holies, there was the holy place, and there was an outer court. And no man could walk straight in to the Holy of Holies. Amen? Couldn't happen. If you did, you're dead. Uriah tried it one time. He tried to touch the Ark of the Covenant. Didn't work out. Moses said, let me see your face. And God says, no one has seen my face and lived. You don't know what you're asking for. But God gave us access to him. Now in the New Testament, we have open access. The veil in the temple's rent in two. We can come boldly into the, but we can learn something about prayer in approaching God through the Old Testament. So let me show it to you real quick. Put the first piece of furniture up. This is in the outer court. This is where the priest offers a lamb for forgiveness of sins. The Passover, listen to this. When I see the blood, the Bible says, this is the Passover lamb, I will pass over you.
And this is what happened with Moses getting out of Egypt when you put the blood on the doorpost. Remember this? The angel of death passed over. But what you're seeing here, God instituted this atonement, the altar of sacrifice. Forgive me if that's too visual and too graphic, but that's honestly what it would have looked like. And I want to encourage you, when it comes to approaching God, the very first thing you should do in your prayer life is remember that Jesus shed his blood for you. And that you, the first thing you can do in prayer is remind yourself, we are sinners saved by grace. Amen. Don't sing about the blessings. Sing about our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. Number two, when it comes to prayer, look at this piece of furniture. It's the brazen laver. And have a look at this. On the outside, it is a highly polished piece of bronze. And what happens is you could see yourself in it. What does James teach us in the New Testament? And this is Jesus' half-brother. If any man is a hearer and of the word, but not a doer, watch. He is like a man that sees himself in a mirror and forgets what he looks like, and he keeps living in sin. But a man who hears the word and sees himself and does not forget what he looked like, but does what the word says, he is a transformed man. I want to encourage you, when it comes to prayer, one of the things you've got to do is have your Bible, because your word, oh God, is like a mirror that shows me who I am, and I'm a sinner who needs repentance, and I need to get my life in line with the word of God. And you cannot get your life in line with God's will without being in the word of God. For in the word of God, you see yourself and you begin to make changes, not just being a hearer, but being a doer. And then Jesus said, now you are clean for the water of the washing of the word. And I want to encourage you, when you are praying, to understand we come to the altar of sacrifice and we come to the brazen laver and we see ourselves in the word of God and we are transformed, and we are not just hearers, but we are doers by what we see, and we live our lives cleansed by the word of God. But then let's go into the holy place. The holy place, you're going to love this one. It's the seven candlestick. It's the golden lampstand, and it's there when you've got the word of God, which is the Logos, the written word of God. And as you're reading it and it's bringing change into your life and you're being cleansed by the washing of the water of his word, that now the Holy Spirit can light up and illuminate the word of God, where the words jump off the page and they leap into your heart. And now you've got a rhema from God. And Jesus said, on that I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. People who've been divinely lit up by the Holy Spirit. But then there's the table of showbread. You're not going to like this one. The table of showbread is all about unleavened bread. And it's all about how we have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with men. And in that moment, the Bible talks about, to make this showbread, you've got to get like a rolling pin and you've got to roll out the yeast and you've got to roll out the leavened bread. And when there's bumps and when there's imperfections and impurities, you got to keep grinding it out, because it's the table of showbread that we understand we've been put into a family, that you cannot be isolated. You cannot do life by yourself. We need each other. The hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. And Wave Church, I want to tell you, we need each other. We belong in a family. This is the family of God. This is the house of God. And God puts us at this place where we have communion with God and communion with man. Can you say amen? Well, this is my favorite in the holy place. It's the altar of incense. The altar of incense is placed right before the curtains that go into the Holy of Holies. This is the last piece of furniture in the holy place. And here, it said, the Bible talks about, let our praise be unto you, O God, be as incense, praise, worship. Do you know what that involves? That involves your will. that involves your emotions, that involves your mind. And did you know that that altar of incense is a four perfectly parallel piece of furniture in its width and its height and its depth, not its height, but its length and its width? Because I want to tell you, when you give God praise, it gives you emotional stability. You're not freaking out when you see the news, and you're not freaking out when you hear people say things that are doom and gloom. You're a person who's approaching God, and as you give God praise, you know He sits on the throne. He is still in control. The heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord. You're not giving up and fearing and freaking out. You've got stability, and God's put something in you where you know that God is in control. Can you say amen? You're not all over the place chasing this revival and that fad. You've got some stability to you in Jesus' name. But then there's the best one of them all. Let's go into the Holy of Holies. And in there is the wings of the cherubim that cover the mercy seat of God. And I found an image that pulls out a few of the things that are inside what we now know as the Ark of the Covenant. And they're on top there for you to see. And what there is there for you to see is the Ten Commandments, two tablets, a golden pot of manna that God provided to sustain His people. That's one of the great shadows of the Old Testament, that God provided people daily, that God caused water to flow out of a rock. God is good and God provides. Amen. But not only is that their golden pot, but in that there is Aaron's rod that buttered with life, the symbol of authority. Listen, the symbol of leadership. But in this culture, in this generation, everybody wants to pull down leadership. Everybody wants to criticize church leaders. Oh, I've never seen it more toxic, more negative. Both Moses and Aaron had rods, and Aaron's rods swallowed up the Egyptian magi stakes. You say, what's all that about? God won't put up with people complaining and rebelling against His chosen leadership and representative on the earth. You say, why is Aaron's rod there? Why is Moses' rod there? Remember in the Old Testament when they were complaining and they were mumbling? Remember this? They weren't just complaining. They were saying, it would have been better if we never left Egypt. They were literally despising the provision of God, of the manna He gave, of the water that flowed, of the shoes and the clothing that never wore out. They were forsaking and forgetting the walking through the Red Sea, that God had been with them and God had been for them. And now they're just mumbling, God, we're sick of you. Why did you ever get us out here? And why is this man Moses? And why are we here? And so God caused snakes to come in and bite them because of their negativity. And I'm telling you, I read that and I think even that, in my own mind, God, you put up with us. And then the people go to Moses, Moses, we're sorry, we're sinning. Moses cries to God. You know what God says? Lift up the cross with the brazen snake on it. And when everyone, I personally believe it was a cobra. I've studied it. And every time someone's bitten, all you got to do is look to Aaron's rod, the brazen image of the snake. Some of you read that and you think, well, wait a minute. You're lifting up the devil, because in Genesis 3, they didn't even know. That book hadn't even been written yet. They had no context to that. But it is a picture of Jesus saying, as Moses lifted up the rod, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. You look to me. You hearing me? prayer really helps you deal with something God won't tolerate with. All the moaning and negative and complaining. Can you say amen? And I just think, you can't complain when you start at the altar of sacrifice. And remember, we are worthy of a judgment that Christ took upon himself. Can you say amen? And I just think we can learn from the Old Testament how to approach God in the new. If you're wondering what James has to say to it, listen. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. Watch. The judge is standing at the door. Can you say amen? Now, church, I want 2026 to be a year of prayer. I want us to be people who pray in the Spirit, that are led by the Spirit, that hear from God. When was the last time God told you just to go up and shake someone's hand and put $20 in it? Send someone a text. I'd rather err on obedience than miss God. Can you say amen? Do you receive the word? My time is up.